tosses. Touchdown, Atlanta.
It's time for the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game as we check in with all the top players of today's game and more.
As we also get your take on today's game.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons Flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? Welcome in to another soul-crushing edition of the Falcons Flyover. It is Chris Thomas Turtle. I'm with you until 7:30. You know the deal by now. I have but one objective, and it is to take your calls at 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. And that's what we're going to do on this edition of the Falcons Flyover. Last week, I was angry, and I think rightfully so, because you got your head stomped in by the Miami Dolphins, 34-10. And you didn't show up, and neither side of the ball looked representative. Neither side of the ball looked like they came ready to play. But this week, it just took your soul. To lose in the most, again, unfathomable type of way. Because Parker Romo couldn't tie the game and give you a chance to win with an extra freaking point. You fall at the hands of the New England Patriots. Your defense, despite giving up 24 points overall, limited the Patriots to just 3 in the second half and registered 6 sacks. The Atlanta Falcons could not convert on third down to save their life. The New England Patriots converted nearly all of their third down opportunities, and that's the ball game. This one, to me, I'm not screaming from the rooftops like I was last week, because that doesn't feel like the tone. The tone for me right now feels somber. The tone for me right now feels sad. The tone for me right now feels same old Falcons. I said in a video of a post reaction that you can check on my Twitter at C Thomas Radio or at 92.9 The Game. I've lived here now, as most of you know, it'll be 5 years at the end of this month. And through this period of time, I have not seen a winning season. And I have not seen a playoff berth for the Atlanta Falcons. What I have seen are a lot of games like today, where I've watched football games since I'm 8 years old. Growing up back home in New Jersey, unfortunately, a lot of them were Jets games. So I commiserate to a certain extent. But even growing up a Jets fan, this Atlanta Falcons team somehow, some way, provides us with ways to lose and ways to come up short like I have never seen before. It's honestly amazing. From the Denver Bronco game and the Minnesota Vikings game of a couple of years ago, where your defense gets twisted into pretzel knots, to the Carolina game last year where you gave up 40 points, to the game where Joshua Dobbs came off the street, didn't know some of his teammates, and was able to beat you. There have been countless things that have happened, new and embarrassing ways for this franchise to lose NFL games. How about the Saints game where Jamal Williams ran it in at the end just to rub it in your face? All of that's happened just in the time that I've been here. So I can't imagine, for all y'all Falcons fans, and I got you in the comments, and your time to call is now. At 404-726-0929. The amount I've seen in 5 years has feel like has aged me 15 years as a football fan. So y'all that have been rocking with the Falcons going back to the late 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, I feel you. Days like today make this thing so difficult. And just, again, today, my mood, my tenor, is not anger. Because there were good things that happened in this game. Michael Penix, Drake London, 6 sacks, as I mentioned. Holding them to 3 points. Wow, they made adjustments. Holy crap. But at the end of the day, what's the most important thing? Wins and losses. And the Falcons lost the game. And they lost the game by 1 point. Because your kicker couldn't make an extra point to tie the game and give you an opportunity to get a win. It really is unbelievable. And now, it's our time to talk about it. 404-726-0929. Do you agree with me? I just feel somber and melancholy. Like, oh, yeah, this team hasn't grown. This team shows, it's the same thing every year. Show signs, and then when it's clutch time and crunch time, you fail in the most epic ways in the biggest of moments. Got till 7:30 to take your calls. We'll do just that. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. It's Chris Thomas on a wet, dreary, and somber Sunday night here in Atlanta.
Here's London from the left in motion. Penix wants to throw on first and goal. He'll spin it for London. Who makes the catch? And an Atlanta touchdown. We got 9-5 in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's why this game is so freaking frustrating. You get a career day, an all-pro day from Drake London. Penix has 3 touchdowns. The defense has 6 sacks. You get unmatched effort today from your wide receiver 1 and your QB 1, both who missed the game last week. You get unmatched effort from Rook and from Dorless and from Lakail London. And you get yourself into a situation where the Atlanta Falcons find new and inventive ways to lose football games. Chris Thomas Turtle with you on the Falcons flyover until 7:30, taking you up until Sunday Night Football right here on 92.9 The Game. It's, again, if you missed the opening segment, last week I came out of the gates hot. I was at Signia, and it was another dreary day like it is right now. Cold and wet and rainy. And I was angry because that effort was, you know what, poor. That wasn't the case today. Today it was just a harsh reminder that this team is somewhere between not good enough and not well run. It seems like it's a DNA issue. It seems like it's a culture issue. Guys, Mike Vrabel had his team ready to go. The Atlanta Falcons, not so much. Nowhere near as prepared as the New England Patriots were. Every time the Falcons punched, the New England Patriots knew how to punch back. Again, you only scored 3 points in the second half. So good job by the Falcons defense. But it wasn't enough. Because at the end of the day, you had a systemic kicker issue. A systemic kicker issue. They gave the job back to Koo when they probably shouldn't have, and they've been scrambling ever since. And then you got the whole thing on the last drive. You'll hear it throughout the week. We're going to have Clapgate, because if you missed it, Marheem Morris is claiming that the Patriots were trying to simulate Penix's height call, which is for him to snap the ball. And on that critical play where he grounded it and got intentional grounding, Raheem Morris is claiming it's one of the lead headlines on ESPN.com. Talk about just making things from bad to worse. Falcons coach says Patriots illegally simulated snap by clapping. Eric, that's an actual headline on ESPN right now. To rub salt in the wound, to say the least. All right, your time to shine, ladies and gentlemen. I got a full hour. It's me and it's you on the phones. 404-726-0929. George is in Decatur. George, start us off.
It's very simple. Michael Phoenix threw the ball 37 times. John Robinson carried the ball 12 times. No matter whether you're going to lose by 1 or 30 points, anytime you got Michael Phoenix throwing the ball 3 times more than John Robinson is running the ball, you are going to lose. John Robinson is a once-in-a-lifetime talent that the Falcons management is wasting. And you look at the five games the Falcons have lost. Phoenix has thrown the ball 2 to 3 or 4 times more than John Robinson has ran the ball. And that's a losing equation for the Falcons, regardless of what sort of number Phoenix may have.
No, George, listen, I totally understand what you're saying. And in general, I absolutely agree. You should never go away from Bijan Robinson as your main focal point of the offense. But when you're down multiple touchdowns early, as they were, you have to throw it a little bit. I'm not saying they shouldn't have gone to Bijan more. I think he had a total of 20 touches in the game. I mean, he can always have 25 to me. Like, this kid is so special, I don't want to keep the ball out of his hands for very long. But at the same time, George, you also have to go with what's called the game flow. And this team was down multiple touchdowns early. So Penix did what he could, and he did what he needed to do, found Drake London in the end zone 3 times. Because that's what the game needed him to do. But as a general principle, George, I 100% agree with you. More Bijan all the time. Ryan's in Marietta. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Turtle? Thanks for taking my call, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think in your opening, you kind of summed it up. And you said somber. You said some words. And mine's just kind of dejected. You know, Mike Conte and brought up a fact on the previous show on the flyover that since 2016, a team that had 5-plus sacks and +2 in the turnover margin were 64-0. Now they're 64-1, and we are the one in the 64-1. It makes it hard to be a Falcons fan where you give your time, your money, your emotional investment to a team that is not willing to change. And the simple matter is that, you know, I'm also a Georgia season ticket holder. I will keep doing that because Kirby gives you ways to win, and this team gives you ways to lose. And our kicking game is awful. We've known that all year. Our defense played well enough to win. I don't want to hear anything more about our rookies on defense not being elite. And at the end of the day, when you have a drive where the defense gives you the ball inside the 40-yard line and you take 5 minutes off the clock and you move the ball less than 30 yards, that is a problem.
Ryan, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. It's one of many problems. And that's the sad part, Ryan. You used a great word. That's a $5 word that Ryan used, dejected. You know what that means for everybody out there? Emotionally spent. You got nothing left. And that's what this, a loss like, again, a loss to the Dolphins makes you angry because of the way you didn't show up. That loss to Carolina makes you angry because the team didn't show up. This one cuts deep because it reminds you of where this team isn't as opposed to where this team should be. It reminds you of where this team is not right now as an organization. And that is an organization that is ready, willing, and able to take the next steps forward to end a 7-year playoff drought. That is a team that has the intestinal fortitude to make that PAT. Again, he missed the PAT. Like, y'all, like, rip all the hair out of your head. Like, you do everything to claw back into that game. Hold them to 3 points in the second half, and you don't get a chance to try to win the game because your kicker misses a PAT. Like, what are you even supposed to feel after that? To Ryan's point, you feel dejected. 404-726-0929. Joseph, also in Marietta. Joseph.
Hey, guys, thanks for the phone call. You know, those two words I hate to hear, players coach. That's the problem. We don't need a players coach. We need a damn coach. This guy has no fire in him. His team reacts. We saw today we got good players. Problem is we don't have people leading our guys. It's like you got to be a general out there. And I'm sick and tired of the lackluster, you know, everybody thinks our front office is good. They're horrible. The only reason why we get guys like Bijan and these other people is because we lose so many games, we're bound to hit somebody. But if you look at all our draft picks over the tenure of Rich McKay and so forth, they haven't been great up until recently. And right now we got four or five guys on offense that I think are thoroughbreds, but we have nobody to lead them. Penix got a big upside, amazing guy, very mobile. But I'm going to tell you something. Raheem Morris looks like a deer in headlights. He has no control over his team. He looks like he's watching the game like a fan, and he's not really taking control. And a head coach has to take control. You think Belichick will let somebody get away with the stuff he lets them get away with? And a kicker? Man, we can get kids from high school can do PATs. This is crazy. A professional football team has no kicker.
No, Joseph, you're 100% right. And I love the passion. Thanks for checking in at 404-726-0929. Love the passion. That's how I feel, except mine is just channeled into sadness right now. Like, I can't even lie. Like, it's just, it's facing the reality of right now. It could change. There's still a large chunk of the season left, but through eight games, staring into the mirror and looking at what this Atlanta Falcons team is and is not right now just makes me sad. Like, I had so much promise for this season. And again, this is not a funeral today, because that's certainly not the case. But it just doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. Three losses in a row, running games completely out the window. Again, today there were a lot of things. I was worried about another no-show today. Today was certainly not a no-show, but it wasn't good enough. It was a missed PAT away from potentially being good enough. But if that's not the Atlanta Falcons in a nutshell, I don't know what is. A missed PAT away. A drive where your quarterback has intentional grounding and your head coach is blaming the other team for trying to mimic your snap count. You can't, again, as I said in the open, you cannot make this stuff up. It's really insane, is actually what it is. Joe is in Hiram. Joe.
Hey, Turtle. How you doing today, brother?
Well, what's up, Joe?
Man, I am a 15-year season ticket holder. I'm giving away the rest of my seats for the rest of the year. This is probably more depressing season than when the Patriots came back on us in the Super Bowl. I help coach a high school football team. I'm a double amputee, and I can kick a field goal up to 35 yards. This is ridiculous. When a coach is trying to blame another team because he can't coach correctly, that's what the other team's paid to do. They're paid to win, whatever. But this, I'm done after this. I would rather sit home and watch the game on TV then go to another game. That's the point I'm at right now.
Yeah, Joe, appreciate it, man. I hear you. You are the second person in as many weeks to call up and share that sentiment. That's not good, people. That's not good. You can't have that. You can't let it get to a point where people are becoming apathetic. You can't have that. The passion, the fire needs to remain with this season. It cannot flame out at all costs. It's the most important thing. You have to go to Germany now and win this game. You have to. You can't be 3-6 and staring at another season where the ultimate inevitability is exactly what it's been for the last 7 years. John is in Atlanta. John, go ahead. All right, let's go to Swede up next. Swede in Duluth.
Hey, what's up, Turtle?
How you doing, man?
Well, first of all, man, I don't even know. I've been a Falcons fan since I transferred my fandom from the Vikings in 98 when the Vikings beat us on the Falcons went to the Super Bowl that year. But anyway, bunch of good points. I got one. I don't know where everyone early on in the season was getting this 10-plus win hype from. All these points of hope that we had, but regardless
of all
that.
Well, Vegas had them at 7.5.
I know. I did, trust me. And everyone's like, why? Why? Well, you could tell why, because everything was based on hope, a bunch of hope. But regardless, here's a great quote. And Mike Bell would appreciate this. He's a movie guy. You might get it. Stacy Keach from a movie, and see if you can figure it out. You were given a Ferrari, and you treated it like a lawnmower. That's what I think of this coaching staff. It's inept. It's pathetic beyond everything. This kicking situation goes back to the beginning of the year. They weren't prepared. They're not prepared for big games. Mike Vrabel comes in after a year, not even a year with his team, and he's kicking ass. So what do you, I mean, what, in this last quote now, Raheem's going to blame something else, like clapping? I mean, come on, get rid of him, get rid of Robinson, elevate Ubrich as interim, elevate the quarterback coach, whatever. Like, shake it up, do something, because it is bad. There's a reason I won't go to a game, and I do not, Arthur Blank, I will not spend money on this team, and I have not since the Super Bowl loss. Will not do it. So there you go.
No, I appreciate it, man. And again, I appreciate everybody's passion. I'm not here. I said this last week too, because now this is multiple weeks in a row. We have people calling into the Falcons flyover saying they've reached their breaking point and they're not either renewing tickets or they're giving away their tickets. I'm not here to tell you how to use your fan. You fan however you want to fan. That's up to you. What I'm here to do is be a sounding board for those of you that are as equally frustrated as I am right now. 404-726-0929. But whatever you want to do with your fandom, that's your prerogative. Arthur Blank hears you, man. I'm telling you, he's not going to tolerate this for much longer. That I can assure you of. 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas Turtle rocking with you until 7:30 on the Falcons flyover. Get in line. Let's go.
Presses more to the right side. Here's Penix looking to throw. It's London. They caught it. Another Atlanta touchdown for Drake London. How about Drake London? Another connection from 9-5, and Atlanta's in the end zone again with 12 seconds to go.
Another
unbelievable.
Harsh reminder of why this one is so freaking painful. Appreciate Wes and Dave on the call. As always, we're playing these highlights back, and it's just like, man, that happened too. You know, the missed extra point. The clock mismanagement again, the inability to figure out the snap count between their defenders and our offensive line. Raheem Morris publicly going after the Patriots in his post-game presser. But then you also remember, oh, wait, Drake London had 3 touchdowns. Penix Jr. threw all over the field and found Drake for 3 touchdowns. Defense had 6 sacks. And then you have to remember about all the bad crap. So 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. It is the Falcons flyover. Again, this one to me is just more melancholy, sad than anything else. It's just more disappointing than anything else. It's more disheartening than anything else. Because with the Dolphins and the Panthers, you get angry. You get mad. You get mean. We rip the coaches. We rip the players. No effort. There was effort today. There was a lot of effort on both sides of the ball. You just weren't good enough. And that is a harsh, harsh reality. JB's in Atlanta. JB.
Hey, what's going on, Turtle?
What up, man?
Hey, brother, you know, it all goes back to what you and I talked about a week ago about you uniting in unity. Until that team comes together as a whole and reaches deep down inside and pulls as a unit, you're going to continue to lose, bottom line. And the coach, as far as I'm concerned, he needs to stop crying about other things on the other side and start worrying about his own thing on this side so he can get a team together and start winning some daggum ball games, man, because so close. And yet, so far away, man, just doesn't get it, bro.
Yeah, horseshoes and hand grenades is the expression. You know,
exactly.
Unfortunately, that's what it comes down to. Thanks for checking in. And yeah, you're right. It's an awful loss. It is an awful loss and an awful look for Raheem Morris. It's an awful look. Coach, no. Sorry. You can't go out there on your bully pulpit after the game and express the following sentiment. Leading ESPN.com. Falcons coach says Patriots illegally simulated snap by counting. Or by clapping. Sorry. Falcons coach says Patriots illegally simulated snap by clapping. Raheem, you got to take the ball and go home, man. You can't light the fire using your own match. Everyone's just going to poke fun at you now. Oh, the typical Falcons. You're inciting that narrative and rhetoric by saying that the Patriots illegally simulated the snap count. How about you win the game? How about you make the extra point? How about you don't have intentional grounding? How about you be buttoned up for once? This team is so unbuttoned up, and that's what cost them the game today. Vrabel had his troops ready to go. Raheem Morris, as usual, there were glitches in the matrix because there just always are, week in and week out. Jay Money is in Atlanta. Jay Money.
Yo, what's up, Turtle?
What's up?
Hey, look, a lot of these people call. You got to understand, football is a game of inches, and you're not going to have your A game every game. Yes, you said a couple weeks they should run the wing T. Man, the wing T is a garbage offense. It's never worked in the NFL. I know you're poking fun, but still. And what position you played on the football team?
It was a you think I was serious, man? That was.
Well, hey, you come across like you're serious now.
That's
what I'm saying.
Come on.
You speak this rhetoric to these people, and these people drink it like it's water, like it's true. Half of them have never played football. They're just talking. Until you play the game, you really don't know the game.
Oh, but how does that relate to what happened today?
Hey, first of all, we know we got kicking problems. We know that. Okay. And then Robinson, you got to keep running the ball. And like I said, Robinson doesn't compliment the defense. You can't go three and out after they've eaten up 7 minutes to start the third quarter. You go three and out, the defense right back on the field. You can't do that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the phone call, man. I can't. Guys, not today. Please. Like, if you think that I made an offhanded joke a week ago about the Falcons have been so inept on offense lately that they should do what my high school did and run the wing T offense, and that's what you're going to call in about, you got to get your head straight, man. You got to get your head straight on that one. Again, I don't even have it in me to yell. I guess I do a little bit. 404-726-0929. Jay Money, just be better, please. I don't even know what else to say. 404-726-0929. John in Atlanta. John.
Yo, hello?
Yeah, man, I got you.
Yeah, man. I'm about like you, man. I'm just burnt out. I really don't know what to even say. Fans always live counting on next season. That, you know, that's what I say. Me personally, man, it's just week in, week out, man. I work too hard to come home on a Sunday and just to see this embarrassing way, new ways to just lose. You know, I've been a Falcon fan since I was a kid. It's just, you know, it's just the same thing every year. We haven't been good since the Super Bowl. Every year, like, even watching the game today, I'm like, well, we're going to find a way to mess it up. And whoop-de-doo, we did. You know, the offense played a little bit better. But like I said, it's not good enough. And it's always been lopsided. Either the defense not playing well one week or it's the offense. I'm just, at this point,
this week, ironically, they both played decent, but it was the freaking kicker missing a PAT. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't make it up.
Yeah, that's true. It is the kicker, but at the same time, the offense has to put more points on the board where it's not as much pressure on the kicker, man. We do that.
24 should be enough. 24 should be enough. 24 should be enough. That's where I have to disagree. 24 should be enough. With this defense, the way that it's played for the overwhelming majority of the season, 24 should be enough. I know you lost 30-0 to Carolina, and you gave up 34 to the Dolphins. But on average, through the eight games, more times than not, 24 points should be enough to win this game. Today it wasn't. And to the caller's point, John, that's why I don't use this word lightly, y'all. To me, and I said it in my post-game video, go check it out at C. Thomas Radio and at 92.9 The Game, it's a DNA issue at this point. It's a culture issue. Good teams win those games, bad teams lose them. I mean, really. I know it sounds cliche and trite, but at the end of the day, when you have the right system in place, the right coaching in place, the right methodology in place, the right formula, the right script, all the words you want to use, these things tend to go your way more often than not. And for teams who don't have those things, it does not go your way more often than not. And certainly in the last 7 years for the Atlanta Falcons, it has not gone their way. Chris is in Noonan. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's up?
I was just calling. I'll make this short and sweet. I'm originally from Ohio, moved down here in the early 2000s. Never really had a pro team up there, and I kind of adopted the Falcons because I live in Georgia now, and I've been supporting them for a long time. But about 6 or 7 years ago, it just started. It just became extremely frustrating. And the only reason I'm calling is you're going to have a lot of people more like me. Last year, I dated a girl. We aren't together anymore, but she's a diehard Steelers fan. So I started watching Steelers games with her, and I've always had respect for them. And again, we aren't together anymore, but I still root for the Steelers because I just lost faith in the Falcons. And you're going to have people like that the longer this goes on. I mean, you can't – one of your past callers said, it's ridiculous that every time they look like they're going to do something good, they can just find a magical way to mess it up. And it's frustrating. And I got into it for a little bit today because it was the only game that was on that I could see, and then they missed the extra point. And I said, this is the reason why.
No,
that's the reason.
Chris, I can't argue with you. I can't because, again, I've been here for 5 years. And throughout my time, if you missed the first segment, I rattled off 7 or 8 different games over those 5 years where this team just found unimaginable ways to lose games. And this was this one might have been the icing on the cake. You crawl all the way back. You get within an extra point, and he freaking misses it. Like, movie scripts are not that harsh. You know, like, forget reality. Movie scripts are not that harsh, y'all. Like, you make the extra point, and you get to live on and try to win the game. Nope. He doesn't do it. And then you get an intentional grounding, and your coach is ripping the opposition post-game because he's accusing them of copying the snap count illegally. Okay. All right, Ra. Carlos is in Atlanta. Carlos.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call, Turtle. Yeah, first time caller.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a trickle-down effect. The front office excluded him off the blank. Rich McKay needs to go. You need to replace those guys with some football heads who knows the business as well as talent. Also, that comment Raheem made the other day about the fans don't care. That's a problem right there. They're untouched. They're not connected with the fans. I think we could do a lot better. The defense did good, but I think we need some football heads in that front office. You're going to pass up on a Hall of Fame coach, Bill Belichick, and go with him. I knew it was the problem then. That's the front office because they wanted power, and I get that power to Bill Belichick to turn this Falcons organization around. Thank you for your call, brother.
Well, Carlos, I appreciate it, man. Aren't you kind of glad you didn't take Bill Belichick? I mean, you want that train wreck with his girlfriend and everything else? Oh, my gosh. You think the vitriol is bad now. Imagine losing that game today and having to look at Jordan's face on the sideline. Ooh, gives me the heebie-jeebies. So I'm glad that actually didn't happen, Carlos. Larry's in Douglasville. Larry.
Hey, Charlie. This is the first time I've called. I've been listening to your show, and I really like it. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I'm going to be short and sweet. This is the problem. It's his coach. It's our coach. I like Raheem. I really do. And I like Zach. I mean, as far as a human being, but they're over their heads. they can't coach, and they've proved it over and over and over again. What Raheem did today was ridiculous. And when we were kicking the extra point, I just knew it was like a third and five. You didn't know if we're going to make it or not, even when he was lining up to kick it. So when he missed it, it didn't surprise me that much. We just need to, you know, suck it up and tell Raheem we're sorry we made a mistake, and we need to get a new coach in there because we've got the talent.
Larry, here's the thing, and I appreciate the kind words in the phone call. We're not going to have to tell Raheem anything if they keep losing games. He'll show himself right out the door. I mean, if this thing spirals and in a couple of weeks you're a 7-8 loss team, the writing's on the wall, man. I think there's going to be not only Raheem, I don't think there's a way you can bring this regime back, man. Let Zach go be the head coach at Oklahoma State. Go Pokes. Keep Jeff Ulbrich. He's doing a good job. But everybody else, I don't know, man. Larry, I think that if this doesn't turn around immediately starting next week, I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. I really don't. All right, I got another half hour. Great job on the phone so far. We'll continue to take your calls. 404-726-0929. It's unfortunately another Falcons family therapy session here on the Falcons Flyover. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you until 7:30.
Here's the snap. They bring five again. They'll throw for London. Did he hang on? He did! Touchdown, Atlanta!
Oh, this is an unbelievable
Drake grab. London has done it again.
Oh, my goodness.
Drake London has caught his third touchdown pass of the day. And Atlanta within an extra point of tying the score with 4:40 to go.
And the rest is history. Chris Thomas, Turtle, with you until 7:30, leading you into Sunday night football coverage right here on 92.9. The game, so painful. Drake London and Bijan Robinson both, and I tweeted this out, hit me up at C Thomas Radio if you can't get through on the phones at 404-726-0929. Bijan Robinson and Drake London both made multiple number one SportsCenter top 10 plays in this game. Both of them, multiple. And it just all gets wasted because your kicker can't make an extra point. Really, it's just a blood-boiling experience. Watching this team now for the last 3 weeks just absolutely spit up all over themselves against San Francisco, Miami, and now New England. And the craziest part about it is tonight's game was the most representative of the Atlanta Falcons out of all of them. They actually played the best tonight out of the past three losses. Six sacks, Penix, great. London, great. You had a situation where you were an extra point away. And now instead, again, leading ESPN.com, we get Clapgate. Falcons coach Raheem Morris says Patriots illegally simulated snap by clapping. That's what we're left with from this game. Instead of all of those amazing accolades I just rattled off. It's really unbelievable. Keaton's in Douglasville. Keaton, go ahead.
Yo, Turtle.
Keaton.
Hey, listen, man. I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I'm going to keep it a buck. I didn't really care about the outcome. You know what? That's a lie. I kind of wanted us to lose the game. And that might sound terrible from an Atlanta Falcons fan. But I'm under the impression now that the only way there will be real changes made where they need to be made is if we continue to get losses stacked up. And even then, I'm not sure that Arthur Blank will fire anybody midseason or if Raheem will see that Zach Robinson just ain't the guy and get rid of him. But that being said, even if we win, like I have the expectations of this Falcons team now that we're, you know what, we might go to Germany and we might beat Indiana. But then we're going to come right back and we're going to lose to the Saints. Watch the Saints drop 50 on us. I mean, just because that's just the Falcons' way. The Falcons' way is to lose and disappoint their fan base. And I'm just quite frankly tired of it, man.
No, Keaton, listen, and that's why I keep saying, and I believe it at this point, it's a DNA issue. And things need to change. There needs to be major shakeup within this organization if this is going to be the result week in, week out. And I'm not just talking to Keaton's point about the three-game losing streak. I'm talking about the identity of this team, where he makes an astute point because there's a chance the Colts lost today. They showed that they were beatable. They got beat up by the Steelers. Could the Falcons go over to Germany with everything being as wonky as it is and get, you know, I don't know, a 24-17 win? Yeah, they absolutely could. But when you get back home from Germany, again, to Keaton's point, how confident are you that they're going to go out there and beat the Saints? I'm not. I'm not. And that's the fundamental issue, that right there. Special K is in Covington. Go ahead.
What's up, Turtle Tracks?
Yo.
I'm just, you know, Raheem talks about competition on the defensive line, offensive line. You just don't ever hear about competition at the field goal kicking spot. I just don't get it. I mean, you just can't miss that extra point. You give him his paycheck, and we'll mail you all your belongings to somewhere else. But the history is, it's, we just ain't going to be where we need to be because the winning mentality, it just ain't there. With the players that this organization has and the hires that Arthur Blank at head coach, he's only got it right twice. And that's Mike Smith and Dan Quinn. And he fired Dan Reeves years ago. So he ain't got it right either as far as head coach. So it's just a meltdown from, you know, from the top to bottom with all these real good players that we got to see two first-round draft picks, strip sack, almost a touchdown, and you still lose the ball game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I just don't get it. Over 1 point.
Special K, one point. You're right, man. It's crazy to think about. You had James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker go tag team on a play where it's like, oh, that's why we took them both in the first round. And even with that, even with six sacks on the opposition, you still, even with hold, you gave up all those scores in the first half. And then in the second half, you're able to hold them to three. And then you still lose the game because your field goal kicker can't make an extra point. DNA. DNA. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Jay is in San Diego. Jay, Falcons fan venting from the West Coast. Go ahead, my friend.
Hey, Turtles. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I did some research on Raheem Morris. He's 49 years old. He's been coaching 27 years of his life. His record is 32-52 after today, and he's never been to the playoffs, and he won't go this year either. Looking at the schedule, you'll be lucky to get to 8-9. Okay? The coaching is just, it's mediocre, and that's what you're getting. My advice is to call Mike McCarthy, a Super Bowl winning coach, and put him with this roster and watch 12 wins and playoff and deep playoff run come up.
Well,
thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll tell you what, a lot of the stupid stuff gets fixed. That's the biggest thing right there, Jay. A lot of that stupid stuff, the stuff that's been happening a lot the last 3 weeks, that's what a guy like Mike McCarthy doesn't have happen. He's got a Super Bowl ring in his pocket. He's confident. Is he a great coach? I would probably argue he's not. But what he does do is bring stability to an organization, to Jay's point. A coach like that, and that's why Belichick, despite all the foibles and the off-the-field nonsense, was appealing. I mean, who's more of a general than him? You want to be buttoned up on Sundays? That's the biggest problem for the Falcons right now, and everybody keeps hitting on it. And I talked about this last week on Chris Thomas Tonight. The Atlanta Falcons at the two most important positions do not have sufficient experience to rely upon them to be leaders in crunch time. Jay just gave you all the stats. Raheem Morris, not good overall as a head coach. Much better as a DC. Record-wise, it's just not there. And Michael Penix Jr., that was his 10th start in the NFL. So neither one of the, like, again, Jesse Bates and Caden Ellis and David Onyemata, they could be the best, Drake, they could be the best leaders in the world. But if you don't have leadership at HC and QB1, you don't have anything. And that's exactly what Jay was talking about, a good point made by Jay all the way out in San Diego. Devin is in Griffin. Go ahead, Devin.
Yo, what's up, man?
Yo.
Hey, so look, man, real talk, lifelong Falcons fan. I honestly like Ra. Nobody in my family supported that move. I backed him the whole way. But nobody's brought this up yet, and I really don't know why, but despite the missed extra point, what happened when we went for it in the fourth? Went for it on fourth down. Yeah, we were right there in the red zone. I'm pretty sure we were in the red zone. We could have easily kicked the field goal at that point. Do the math, we would have been up by two. I mean, I know it would have changed the way the game played out towards the end. They would have probably played the game a little differently. But be that as it may, if the numbers are laid out, we would have been up by 2 points if we would have just took that field goal instead of going for it on fourth down. And I just, you know, it always harkens back to the coach.
No,
and the mismanagement of the game clock, and it's just frustrating as a Falcons fan, man.
No, I got you, and I appreciate the phone call. I'm not here to so much second-guess those types of decisions because I heard, you know, Wes and Arch on the broadcast talking about it, and I heard what they were saying on CBS, and I think the kind of consensus was at that point, you know, with the way that the game had been going, the game flow, which is what I talked about earlier in the show, like the game you need to think of as like a living, breathing organism. So even if something in conventional wisdom says to do this in X spot, that's fine, and that should definitely be considered, but you also need to look at the game flow and the game state and where things are right now. And New England was scoring at will, and you needed to be able to respond in a big way. And you got what you got, 24-23. So Devin, definitely understand, but I thought about that, but, you know, at the end of the day, you were just trying to match up tit for tat with what New England was doing, so despite everything that happened wrong today, it's just that to me is just another piece of the puzzle. Warren is in Atlanta. Warren.
How's it going, man? Appreciate you accepting the call.
Yeah.
I'm a hot Falcons fan. And this may sound a little controversial, but Justin Tucker is coming off suspension next week. Should we look at trying to bring him in? I know it's a little sketchy, but should we bring him in for some kicks?
Well, here's the thing about that, Warren. I understand where you're coming from because it is that frustrating. But not only is he coming off the horrendous allegations and things that were proven, and I appreciate the phone call, he wasn't good. I know, E, you're a Baltimore Ravens fan. You watched every kick this guy made. But he was not the, you know, 93% effective kicker he was that last season. I don't know if that had to do with the stress of the investigation that was ongoing.
Absolutely. But absolutely.
I don't.
You got to kick the tires. You have to kick the tires.
I don't know.
You call the commissioner, make sure that the coast is clear, maybe put a poll out there to the public and be like, hey, we've forgiven a lot of things here. How you feel about this?
Okay, but what if he comes in and misses his 3 out of his first, you know, 5?
And that puts us in any worse condition than we are right now.
No, but I'm just talking about it not from an on-field standpoint. I'm talking about from the public flack standpoint that would come with the move. Because there's going to be a portion of the fan base that's like, I don't care. It's so bad. I'll take anybody.
If his head's clear, I mean, we're still talking about the most accurate kicker in NFL history.
I know.
NFL history, Turtle.
And it's the most glaring need, but he's accused of some pretty awful stuff, and I don't know if you can look. Like, they say talent is the great deodorizer, but he better come in and make every single one of his kicks.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny. I have to go to Baltimore in a couple of days. My mom has a surgery. I have not heard, at least I haven't done my homework. Has he been apologetic? Has he done anything? He needs to do some PR.
No, it was the opposite. He was staunchly
I'm innocent.
Himself.
I'm innocent.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so he does need to do some PR. Okay,
yeah, but that was that was a while ago. He hasn't been in the public spotlight in a long time.
So he's got to do some PR before he gets the job. Yeah. Obviously, but
no.
If you this is your show. Go back to previously content.
No, but listen, man. I was just saying as a point because I know. Listen, when you get this desperate at a certain position, yes, to the caller's point, try anything. But again, the high risk, high reward situation. I can't. With how fragile the state of this franchise is right now, I don't think they can support bringing in a guy with that much baggage, even if he is as good at his job as he once was, which was, to E's point, the best to ever do it, ironically enough. All right, got one more segment to take your calls. Let's finish it out. On the phones with you, 404-726-0929. Just a somber, sad, melancholy type evening here in Atlanta after that missed extra point and the subsequent drive that fizzled out. How you feeling about it, Falcons fans? We'll talk to wrap up the show next. Final couple of minutes here on the Falcons flyover. Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 7:30 when coverage of Sunday Night Football comes your way. Then just an absolutely gut-wrenching, heartbreaking loss. 24-23 up in New England. Just everything that went wrong at the end of the game after you did such an amazing job getting yourself back in position to win this one, getting yourself back in position to tie the game after an insane touchdown drive by Drake London. And then it all goes to poop because you can't convert an extra point. And if that doesn't sum up where this team is right now, I don't know what does. That's the unfortunate situation. This team, these last 3 weeks, have put themselves in quite a hole. You are now 3-5, and the margin for error is getting rather, rather small. You now got to gear up for a Colts team that's going to be coming in hungry. They got beat up by the Steelers today. They had, I think, 5 turnovers in the game. Daniel Jones turned back into a pumpkin. You don't think they're going to be motivated? Jonathan Taylor also came back down to earth today. You don't think they're going to be motivated? Come on now. And then you get to see what you're made of as you get tests against the Panthers and the Saints and the Jets. So even if you do dig yourself into this hole, you would hope that there is promise to dig yourself out of it. Not if you take a look at the NFC, and that's the problem. You got a lot of teams that are fighting for just a couple of spots. You think you're going to win the division? It doesn't seem very likely right now. Carolina won again today, by the way. They beat the Packers. Yeah, you heard me correctly. The Carolina Panthers beat the Packers, and the Atlanta Falcons couldn't hit a PAT to tie the game at 24. That's where things are right now. You know what? The Panthers are 5-4. They're better than you are right now. Sorry. To quote Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. And right now, the Atlanta Falcons are 3-5. Only the Saints, who are now turning over their fortunes to Tyler Shuck in order to try to save their season, which they won't. And then it's you. And you go on a 3-game losing streak in which your offense is completely inept in 2 out of the 3 games. Your defense gives up a season high, 34 in the middle of those. And then today, the one thing that you need in order to make this engine go, just mere competency at the kicking position, you can't do it. And again, just the icing on the cake is now the coach coming out at the end of the game and saying that the Patriots were mimicking Michael Penix Jr.'s clapping snap count. And that's what caused that game-ending, essentially gut-wrenching play where Michael Penix Jr. gets a delay of game for throwing it at the feet of nobody because he wasn't ready for the snap and Bijan Robinson was flanked on the other side of him, so he couldn't even throw it at his feet. And for the final time today, on this edition of the Falcons flyover, that erases the six sacks. That erases three touchdowns from Drake London. That erases Penix coming back from the injury and looking great. That erases all of it. Because this franchise is nothing but inconsistent. We've been pounding the table all year long on 92.9 The Game, no matter what show you listen to, begging, pleading for this Atlanta Falcons team to just have a modicum of consistency. And they have nothing even close to that. Nothing even close. What has happened to this team over the last 3 weeks? Where is your identity? Your identity is supposed to be running the rock. That is your identity. Your identity is supposed to be out-physicaling your opponents at the line of scrimmage. We didn't even really get into this today. This is the third straight week that the defensive line has gotten gashed up the middle, again, by a running back. It was in San Francisco, it was with Miami, and today it was with New England. And they weren't even at full strength in their running back room. Their running back stable was a man short. Didn't matter. Somebody, I don't even know his name. He scored his first touchdown today. Jennings, I think, was his last name. I'd never heard of him. Scored his first touchdown today. Because you're unable right now of being a consistent franchise. To close it out again, consistent winning good NFL franchises take today's opportunity of getting back into that game and coming all the way back. And they win that game. And they make a statement and they get back on track and they try to save their season. Bad teams do not do that. Bad teams have what happened to the Falcons the last 3 weeks, where a banged up 49ers team has their running back go for 180 all-purpose yards. Last week, they made Tua look like Dan Marino. And then the Dolphins, you see them against the Ravens, by the way? 28-6? Okay. Okay. We'll keep it moving. And then today, you fought and you battled with a team that, quite frankly, is better than you. I don't know. That's fine. But there was a game to be won. And the better team won the game today. You had a chance to go out there and make a statement. We're coming, Colts. We'll see you in Germany. Now, it's just full desperation mode once again. And it's just so frustrating that we're watching in real time this car crash in front of us from the Atlanta Falcons. We're watching it in real time, and we're just all sitting on the sidelines helpless because there's nothing we can do about it. Hopefully they go out there in Germany and they prove us all wrong. Good Lord, I hope so. Appreciate everybody that checked in on the phones, 404-726-0929. Enjoy Sunday Night Football. We're going to have an interesting time for the flyover next weekend because of the 9:30 a.m. kickoff here, but I'll be here to do it just like I am each and every week. And of course, you can catch me every weeknight, 6 to 10, Chris Thomas tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just another painful loss, but again, hopefully next week we can see something different. I'll talk to you guys then.